Last year, I started reading through a different translation throughout the year for one book of the Bible. And this year, I've been reading through Hebrews. I'm through about 12 or 13 translations so far, and it kind of gives you a different idea based on the way different words are translated. So this year, as I'm studying through the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew epistle was written to tell the Jewish Christians a few things. Number one, that Jesus is superior to the old law, the Levitical priesthood, angels, prophets, etc. That number two, Jesus is actually God, who himself created the world and even mankind who crucified him. Number three, that Jesus lived as a man as we do and suffered for us to save us from our sins. And number four, because of this, the Hebrew writer encourages the Jewish Christians to remain faithful until death in the face of merciless persecution, since not only angels provide Christians aid in this life, Hebrews 1:14, but especially Christ, who is tempted as we are, yet without sin. So as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, let's look at some of these scriptures from the book of Hebrews to help prepare our minds. So the first point was Jesus, who is God, made the world. All these scriptures will be from the New American Standard Bible, 1977, which is my favorite translation. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, that's Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom, Jesus, also he made the world. Notice this, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, or God's nature. Jesus was God in the flesh and upholds all things by the word of his power. Number two, Jesus lived as a man and was tempted as we are, so that he can come to our aid, to help in times of need. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." And then again, back in Hebrews 2:18, "For since he himself was tempted, in that he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." Number three, Jesus is now our high priest today, who is superior to the law of Moses, the Levitical priesthood. Hebrews 7:18 says, "For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weaknesses and uselessness." That's the old law. Then in verse 19, "For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." And then verse 22, "So much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant." And then verse 25, "Also, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this he, Jesus, did once for all when he offered himself up." And then back in Hebrews, the 8th chapter in verse 1. Now the main point is what has been said is this. "We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty." Verse 6. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. And then number four, Hebrews was written to tell them that the old covenant could not remove transgressions, but the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. Hebrews 10 and verse 1, for the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year which they offer continually make perfect those who draw near. And then in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And then in verse 10, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. That's the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. And then in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who were sanctified. Finally, the fifth thing, Hebrews was written to tell them that the Hebrew brethren must remain faithful unto death, even in the face of temptations and persecutions, just as Jesus did, and as the faithful saints of the past did, Hebrews 11, so we can receive an eternal rest with the Lord in heaven. We see this in chapter 10 and verse 32. But we remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, he encourages them, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. But we notice that throughout Hebrews, this is conditional. Our salvation is conditional in Jesus if we remain faithful. Notice the verse just before this. In verse 28, Hebrews 10, 28, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. Finally, verse 31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So for this reason, now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let us remember the Lord's suffering, the Lord's death, that was done to remove our sins. Let us do it with sincerity of heart and with great soberness. Why do we need to be so serious and sober and sincere in partaking of the Lord's Supper? Well, Paul addresses this in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11, verse 27. He says, therefore, whoever eats of the bread or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, or some versions say condemnation to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. When my three children first obeyed the gospel, I talked to them before they partook of the Lord's Supper the first time, and we've had other conversations over the years about this. And I told them a couple of things. Number one, when they partake of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, to take it very seriously, their responsibility in commemorating the Lord's death, so that they will not be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus, as Paul stated. And just as an aside, I also mentioned to them, number two, for decades, I used to read through Scripture as I partook of the Lord's Supper to help prepare my mind. But over time, this is just personally for me, I found that my mind was wandering as I started thinking about different things in the text. So for me, I started just closing my eyes to concentrate on the Lord's suffering and his death and examine myself. So while that works best for me, it may actually help you to read Scripture. That's up to you. But in conclusion, the letter of the Hebrews to the Hebrew Christians was written to tell the Jewish Christians, number one, that Jesus is superior to the old law, the Levitical priesthood, angels, prophets. Number two, that Jesus, who actually created the world, created mankind, who crucified him. And he lived and suffered as a man to, number three, save us from our sins. Let's think of the Lord's suffering, examine ourselves as we partake of the Lord's suffering.